This is Mandy.
And this is Leanne.
And you're listening to Two Blind Sleuths. All right, we're back after 2 months of being gone.
Oops, I feel like I'm out of practice.
Hope you didn't miss us too bad.
Yeah.
We've been busy. Vacations. Everybody needs a break, right? Work, everything like that. I'm going to tell a story tonight that a lot of people have heard. Leanne, you definitely have heard it, but there's been some kind of news about the story going around lately. So that's what made me think about it. And tonight, I actually do have somebody here, but he's in the background. Maybe he'll hear the story or maybe he'll have to leave. Say your name.
Powell.
The ginger detective is here tonight to help the sleuths out with the case, but he may have to leave. So if he has to leave, he can tell us bye, but maybe he can hear a little bit of the story. But before we get started, I wanted to talk about Leanne and our big TV people and true crime television shows, not just true crime. I mean, we definitely watch Bravo and Vanderpump Rules, right?
Yeah, can't get through it fast enough to get to Scandoval. It's driving me crazy.
Scandoval?
That's what sucked me in, was on the simple social media, Scandoval. It's like, what is all this hubbub about this? Sandoval. I didn't think he was that cute. I was like, why is this a big deal? And so then I just randomly started like watching it in the morning. So I was getting ready for work and like halfway listening. And then I totally sucked into the whole
Scandoval.
Kristen, Ariana, like all of it. I'm in it.
I've been watching it in real time for 10 years, but it definitely has started slacking. It wasn't doing very good for a while. And then the whole Scandoval thing happened and it's back. It is one of the hottest shows on television right now, which is crazy. But one of the newest shows that we've just watched that Leanne told me about, and we both just finished it, is on Peacock. And it's called what, Leanne?
Based on a True Story.
Yes. And it's a dark comedy, pretty dark, but pretty funny. At the same time, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. And all the seven episodes or eight, I think.
I think it's eight.
They came out in one day, which is not usually how they do that. Even on Peacock, they didn't do that with Poker Face.
I was really surprised. But then I watched them all, binged them. So I'm like, now what?
And they're only 30 minutes. I know, because I don't know if we've mentioned it, but I loved, it's a true crime show too. I loved Poker Face on Peacock.
Yes, Poker Face. I also liked The Resort.
Yeah, The Resort was very good, too. And that was a little mystery show. And that was very, like, light, though. It wasn't dark.
I like it based on a true story because it's hard, but it does kind of build obsession with true crime, podcasts, that stuff. You know, like, it's almost like an over-the-top what think their podcasts to be popular or whatever. I mean, downloads you get and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they make a deal with the devil, do it.
On the show, they do. Not in real life. We hadn't made any deals. But yeah, maybe we could take some tips from the show. I didn't know, but
yeah, really?
I didn't learn much, but it was super funny. And it's just, if you like dark comedies, definitely check it out. All right. I'm going to get into my story so we don't get too much off.
I want to hear your take on the new development. I'm sorry.
You're not supposed to know. I accidentally said it earlier before we set up the recording, but Powell, you definitely don't know about this story because you were 2 when the story happened. Yeah, he was 2. He's 19, almost 20. How'd you get so old? Oh, we're old or he's old?
We're old.
No, I'm just going to say he's old. We're not old. I'm just kidding. We are getting older. All right. So the story that I'm going to tell you and Powell about is the disappearance of Natalie Holloway. Obviously, you know the story, Leanne. Unless you've been living under a rock, you know this story. Unless you're 20 years old, then... that's another reason I wanted to do this story, that there was a new development. Plus, Emma, I realized at 22, she had heard of this because she's so into true crime, but she didn't know any of the details of the story. So maybe she can listen to this episode while she's doing eyelashes and she can learn about it. That is why I picked this story, because there's something, but it's also that, and Powell, so you know that this story is about a girl that went missing and she's from Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama. So it was kind of a local story for us. At the time, especially when it came out, we have some younger listeners, so maybe this will be news to them, I guess you could say it, or new to them, the story. All right, so let's get started. Y'all ready?
Ready.
In May 2005, Natalie Holloway was an 18-year-old. She had just graduated high from Mountain Brook High in Birmingham, Alabama. Natalie was a straight-A student who planned to attend the University of Alabama. She had a full scholarship, so she's super smart, and she planned to pursue pre-med there in Alabama. Okay, Powell, are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so on May 26, 2005, Natalie and her class fly to the island of Aruba for a senior class trip. And this is probably going to come back to you a little bit, talk about Aruba. On the senior trip, there was 124 students and 7 adult chaperones. They stayed at the Holiday Inn. Yeah, it is. A lot of students. So they stayed at the Holiday Inn Resort. I guess the Holiday Inn has a resort in Aruba. It's near the north end of the island, at least back then. The Holiday Inn Resort was. I'm not sure if it's even still there. On May 29th, the last night of the trip, Natalie meets a boy, Jordan Vandersloot. He's a 17-year-old boy, which she's 18. He's 17. He lives in a nearby town of Norrd, N-O-O-R-D. I'm not sure if I said that. I read that they first met up at the hotel where the senior class was staying, the Holiday Inn. I know, I always thought they maybe met that first night, but I think they met maybe before.
They met at the bar.
Yeah, I did too. Until I did more research on this story, which I've never researched the story. I've only just heard bits and pieces through the years until now. All right, so Powell.
I think Jordan, how I say he's an American, but I think his Dutch name.
I think you're exactly right, but I just said Jordan. But
it's fitting for somebody so horrible.
I know, but you're exactly right. That's how he says his name. But I'll probably just keep saying Jordan because I don't know how to say that.
No, I wouldn't say that. I just want to say you're in a bunch of different words.
All right. Sorry, I quit laughing. Okay. All right. Powell and Leanne. So this is what happens. They end up going that last night. All right. They end up going downtown to this bar called Carlos and Charlie's, which it's downtown Aruba. When I was in Aruba recently, actually it's been 3 years now, 2 years before COVID. Carlos and Charlie's no longer exist, by the way.
Oh, really? Because it was a really popular, I think, spot.
Especially for the cruise ships, because it was right there by the cruise ships. All right, so the pair are seen that night at Carlos and Charlie's, drinking and dancing and seemingly to have a good time together. Everybody's around. A lot of her classmates are there. So sometime after the bar closes at 1 a.m., like they said, 1:30, I guess everybody just is, okay, what do we do now? So Natalie is seen leaving with Vandersloot and two of his friends, Deepak and Satish, S-A-T-I-S-H. Okay.
Satish.
Kalapo, K-A-L-P-O-E.
Yeah. I can tell going back now because I was a little obsessed with this. And it's surprising. Mac was a baby.
Yeah. He was. She's seen left. They're brothers, by the way, those two boys, Vandersloot's friends. So she's leaving the bar with all three of them, right? Okay. After she's seen leaving at 1:30 a.m. with these three, Natalie Holloway is never seen again, ever. The next day, May 30th, 2005, the Birmingham, Alabama class is set to leave Aruba. So they're all to meet in the lobby that morning at 10 a.m. And Natalie is a no-show, right? They go check her room. Her passport and all her belongings are still in there. A chaperone calls Natalie's mother, Beth, and tells her the news that Natalie is missing. And later that afternoon or night, Beth, Natalie's mom, and her husband, which is Natalie's stepfather, and a friend arrived that night on a rented jet in Aruba. They rented a jet, hopped on it, and came down, which I don't blame them.
What, stolen a jet?
That's exactly right. I know.
I mean, I can't even imagine getting the phone call.
Yeah, so they leave Birmingham, Alabama, and they get there as quick as they can. Honestly, that was pretty quick. They get in touch, okay? They get in touch with Vandersloot, and he admits he left with Natalie from the bar, but he says that they drove to a lighthouse, and then they dropped her off at the hotel at the Holiday Inn after that, all right? So he even takes them to the hotel, where he says he can point out the security guard who helped her into the lobby, right, like after they dropped her off. But they go there. He's unable to find the security guard, surprise, surprise, that helped her in, okay? On June 1st, 2005, they start the search. They start, like, more of the official search, right? I think they're just asking questions, searching around, but this was, like, the big-time search for Natalie on the island. It consists of 100 tourists and various locals trying to find her. Eventually, they have a volunteer team from Texas. I think I know it's, like, the Texas search something. I've definitely heard of them.
Horses and
yeah, and the Raven police.
How did they get their horses to Aruba?
Maybe they just didn't take their horses. I'm not sure. I mean, there probably is some horses already because the Aruban police were there, the Dutch Marines, 3 F-16 fighter planes from the Netherlands, and they still could not find a trace of Natalie Holloway.
Why'd they have so many people from the Netherlands?
The Netherlands, I guess, is far from there. So that's why, I guess. Aruba, they only have so many resources, so they've got to pull resources from other places. I have read some things, and I didn't even write this down at all, but that the Reuben police were difficult to deal with. I don't know. And he's not even Jordan or Vandersloot. He's Dutch, I think. Leanne, wasn't he Dutch? I don't know if
yeah,
I read
it. It's all the same thing.
Yeah.
Reuben is actually a country.
They definitely had to get resources from other places because there's only so much. And there is one side of the island. The back side of the island is like very rocky. And it's just like rough terrain.
Right.
They don't find her. I mean, this case is absolutely not solved, but there's so many twists and turns and highs and lows where you think they're going to solve it and then they don't. So that's kind of what the story consists of. And there has been just a little bit of a new development and we're going to get to it. So on June 5th of that year, they make the first arrest. This is who is arrested. There is a security guard of a hotel that's close by the Holiday Inn that was closed for renovations at the time. Vandersloot's dad and a party boat DJ. They're all arrested. They were all later released for not enough evidence. And the security guards and the DJ, I think they were being blamed by Vandersloot and his friends as being involved to try to take the heat off of them, obviously. I mean, they must have believed it a little bit enough to arrest him. That was all them trying to point the blame somewhere else, I'm pretty sure. I mean, that was definitely said later. There wasn't enough evidence. I think they believe Vandersloot's dad was covering something up for the boys. And he was a judge in Aruba too, by the way, pal. So they think this is why this kid was like maybe treated not as much of a suspect as at first, at least, as he probably should have been. But these other guys, they were just pawns.
Yes.
All right. So the boys' story of taking Natalie back to the hotel starts to fall apart. They then say that Jordan and Natalie were left on the beach by the brothers. They all say this, the brothers and Jordan, they admit this. Vandersloot then says that he left Natalie there on the beach alone because she wanted to stay there. So he just left her there and he went home. But
yes,
now he didn't take her back to the hotel. That never happened. All right. So on June 9th, Vandersloot and his friends, the brothers, are finally taken into custody. That's when they still say the story that they left her on the beach alone. They don't know what happened to her. She just got left behind. They went home. So on July 4th, 2005, the brothers are released. Vandersloot is held for another 60 days. They just don't have enough evidence to charge them or hold them in custody any longer. On July 17th, hair strands with duct tape pieces are found on the Reuben northeast coast. They're sent to the FBI crime lab and tested, and they come back as a negative match for Natalie. So still nothing. Even this, like, how do you find duct tape?
Somebody else was duct tape.
Just a bunch of crazy activity going
on. Yeah, somebody else has duct tape with their hair on it. I don't understand it either.
Crazy.
But, I mean, maybe their technology wasn't that good back then. I don't, or DNA. All right, so on July 26th, a pond is drained where someone said they spotted the boys that night and they find nothing. Drain the pond, still nothing. The brothers are even re-arrested, but then like Vandersloot, they're all set free by September 3rd, 2005. And in February of 2006, Vandersloot and his dad are served a civil lawsuit from New York for malicious intent and wrongdoing of Natalie. I guess because he admitted to leaving her behind on the beach.
And Beth Holloway was like unstoppable.
Oh, for still is, I think. I mean, honestly.
Still is. She was not leaving. She was not doing anything until somebody paid for something in some way. Like, she was just the most determined woman I've ever seen.
I actually think she, like, moved to Aruba, didn't she, for a long time? She was there for
a
long time.
She was there for really long.
Yeah, she was there. Like, it was in the news all the time. I mean, just constantly them looking for this girl. It was huge news. And nothing. I mean, just nothing. And this mom was just relentless. And this kid, I mean, obviously, he knows what happened to her. This Vandersloot boy. I mean, he absolutely knows. And the brothers probably know, too. And his dad probably knows.
She was not shy about saying
it. They definitely knew. They know something, or they know exactly, actually. They don't just know something. So this civil lawsuit was, they filed against them. It was later dropped. Because just of the location, them being all the way in Aruba and them trying to do something, that whole like American Aruba thing was really a problem because you try to sue somebody that's all the way in Aruba and you're in New York, it's like too far away. It's not going to happen. So it got dropped. March 1st to the 3rd, Vandersloot does a 3-night sit-down interview with Fox News. He recounts the events of that night and his time with Natalie there in Aruba. He still says the same thing, that they party, danced, and drinking, but he left her there alone on the beach. Natalie's
and
mom
is so believable. Like, it was
the. Do you remember?
It was so believable, even made me question everything.
I think
he said he left her on the beach.
Yeah.
What about the hotel story?
You change that.
Well, that's the first red flag.
It is the first red flag, because when you lie, that's usually a lot of these things. They know that there's a reason why you're lying.
But his interview, I remember he was so, like, firm, his answers and the way he answered and was so, like, calm. It's really scary, like, total sociopath. Yeah, it was crazy how calm he was, especially for his age.
He did this interview at Fox News. And so, yeah, he still sticks with the same story. So Natalie's mom and stepdad file another civil suit against the brothers this time. This one, again, because of the location, gets dropped. I'm like, I mean, they're trying everything, I guess, right? November 21st, I didn't really know about this, 2007, Vandersloot and the brothers are arrested again for what is described as new evidence. Okay, so this is 2 years later. Then they're later released for not enough evidence. I mean, this just goes on and on, right? On December 7th of that year, that's when they're released. So they were in there for a few weeks. They're later released for not enough evidence.
Okay.
Then on February 3rd, 2008, a Dutch reporter befriends Vandersloot. He hides a... I wish Powell could have heard this. Powell left, by the way. He had to go home and go to bed because he has to get up early for workouts. Okay. All right. So this Dutch reporter, he acts like he's going to become friends with Vandersloot. I definitely remember this. Do you remember all this? Yeah. He hides a camera in the car that they're both in. Vandersloot tells a story about how the night with Natalie unfolded. He says Natalie collapsed on the beach that night. And it doesn't say how or why she collapsed. It was assuming that it was a drug overdose or something of that nature. He was unable to revive her, he says. He then calls a friend and for help, and the friend helps him dispose of her body from a boat. When Vandersloot finds out that this story was being recorded, he says he was lying to the Dutch reporter. I made it all up.
You have to do that.
I know, right? And I think that that's probably exactly what happened. Not that I think Natalie did any drugs. If she did any drugs or OD'd, he probably roofied her or something.
Yeah, no, that's what I really think, that she was roofied. I don't think she did it on her own.
Absolutely not. I mean, I can definitely...
Much. I mean, I can see like a kid like smoking weed or something like that. But she didn't do something to kill her.
No. And you know what? I was thinking this is awful, but what if she... How does he even know she was dead? You know what I mean? That's what makes me so mad. It's she could have not...
He may have just panicked, just that, I don't know. We'll never know.
But I always thought when this first happened, I will say I always thought it was an accident. I mean, like when he was on Fox News, everything. We later realized when more things unfold in his future, I will say now, I do not think it was an accident. And we'll get to it.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, we'll get to why.
Even if it was like he roofied her too, and then she died, and then he threw her overboard on a boat, if he just thought she was dead.
What I think, there was more to the story. I think she may have OD'd. Okay, that's possible. But I think it was more of he probably was trying to have sex with her. There was a struggle, and he probably threw her on the ground and she probably hit her head on a rock and died, or probably wasn't even dead, just probably knew he was going to get in trouble. She could have not been all the way dead. She could have just been knocked out, and him and his friend or his dad or whoever helped him, and they freaking go and throw her overboat out on the other side of the island. That's what happened. I think.
Yeah, either way.
If it was an accident, he's horrible. But I always assume a 17-year-old boy, he's got, seemed like he had a good family from a good background, blah, blah, blah. It was an accident. Even though I always thought he should get in trouble or more trouble. All right. I don't think that anymore. I think he's a... We know more about him. All right. I wanted to talk about that because I really did believe it was an accident at first when the story was so big and the first couple years after it. That's what he says happened, right? On March 10th, 2010, now this is 5 years later, Vandersloot emails Beth's lawyer, Natalie's mom, and says for exchange for money, he will tell them where Natalie's body is. He says he wants $25,000 up front and then $225,000 to come later. All right, the lawyer agrees. He relays this email. He agrees when he talks to Beth, and then he relays this email to the FBI. The next month, maybe in May, the lawyer meets with Vandersloot in Aruba. I was telling Justin about that part, and he was like, why would her mom do that? And I said, because you're desperate to find your kid.
I'll do whatever.
I just need answers, and I need to know where and lay her to rest. And she's never been able to do any of it. All right, so the lawyer meets up with him, right? And he brings $10,000. Vandersloot, of course, takes the money, then leads the lawyer to an abandoned house, which he says his dad buried Natalie in the foundation. All right? Which I think he's blaming his dad now, because I didn't read this and I could totally go back, but I think his dad dies And I think at this time, his dad's dead. For some reason, thought he had a heart attack. But that's just like thinking back. I totally could have written this that tidbit down, but it wasn't that relevant because his dad did not do this. Because while you're Googling that, I'll tell this part. So that day, another $15,000 is wired to Vandersloot to a bank account in the Netherlands. Because that was part of it. The $10,000 up front, the $15,000, then I'll tell you where. All right, so they go. Obviously, Natalie is not in the foundation. She's not there. So that's why I didn't really look up if his dad was dead or not. I think I just remembered that he had died, and that's where he thought, okay, I can get some money and I can blame it on my dad because he's not here to say I'm lying. Okay, Vandersloot tells best lawyer he's been lying again and leaves to Peru to play in a poker tournament. Then on May 30th, all right, 2010, the dirtbag finally does something he can get caught for. 5 years since the disappearance of Natalie Vandersloot murders Stephanie Flores, a 21-year-old girl. She was murdered by Vandersloot in their hotel room in Peru. He told the hotel staff not to go in the room. Then he flees, right? He's seen on surveillance, like coming right out of the room, hotel room. On June 3rd, 2010, Vandersloot is arrested in Chile. He had dyed his hair red and was found in a taxi. He's taken to Lima and held in a high-security prison there. On June 27th, he is indicted for wire fraud in the U.S. for trying to get the money from Natalie's mom, Beth. Then on January 11th, 2012, he pleads guilty to Stephanie Flores' murder. He says he's sorry for murdering her. He was suffering from trauma from the Natalie Holloway stress. His defense team claimed. All right, the prosecution says he killed Stephanie to take her winnings from the casino that she had. And you know that the rumor was that he killed Stephanie because she found something on his laptop about the Holloway case, which I don't know. I think that may have been a rumor because I found that.
I do remember.
I do too. But what would he have put on his laptop? Maybe the whole thing that he had just, actually, that does make sense. He had just emailed back and forth with Beth's lawyer and says, I know where the body is. So that maybe is what she found, but. And maybe the defense was just saying, hey, he took our winnings. It was probably a little bit of both, if I was to guess. He probably wanted her winnings. And I'm pretty sure her dad was like some big guy, bigger than his dad. And at this point, his dad's not alive anymore to protect him. And so he actually does get charged. He pleads guilty, but he's sentenced to 28 years in prison for Stephanie's murder. 28 years, that's it, all right? He even gets married in prison. And in 2014, the wife gets pregnant. So he's just like living his life. In 28 years, I mean, he could still, if he was a 20-year-old kid, he could, 21, whatever, he could, or 22, actually, he could still have a full life almost after that. It just makes me sick. I guess, obviously, like you said, she's one of those girls that writes guys in prison. And I mean, how else do you meet a guy in prison and marry him? Like, how could you ever talk about red flags?
Yeah, really?
I mean, how dumb can you be?
I mean, lots of serial fan mail. And it just blows my mind.
Maybe because they think they're never getting out, and so we can just have this relationship and you'll never cheat on me. I mean, he might.
You're getting cheated on.
Exactly. And if you marry him, you can have those visits where you... And he's probably had many boyfriends and no telling what he's got. That is, what the hell is wrong with people? Oh, that is just so gross. How do you tell your friends and family that you just married a serial killer, basically? So still, Natalie Holloway is never found, and she's declared dead in 2012. In 2017, Oxygen airs a 6-part true crime docuseries, which I think I remember, where this guy is featured who says Vandersloot paid him in 2010 to dig up and cremate Natalie's body. The bone fragments found are tested and not Holloway's. Natalie's mom sues the network, which I don't blame her, for false hope and unnecessary suffering. I mean, I think the network really thought they were going to find something, but you would think that, so they were airing it in real time, because I'm like, why didn't they realize when they didn't find anything and their bone fragments were not hers, why did they even air it in the first place? Because all the hype? I don't know. All right, I'm not sure if she wins or what happens there, but so now we come to why this story has come back in the news. Vandersloot is finally going to be sent from Peru prison to the prison in the U.S., to face charges he had years ago from wire fraud and extortion for money he took and tried to take more money, of course, but the money he actually did take from Beth Holloway. I mean, her last name's not Holloway, but from Beth, Natalie's mom, because she was remarried. They feel like this is some justice for Natalie. It's justice for Beth. I don't know. They don't feel like they can get any justice for Natalie, so at least they can get this. He will go back to Peru after this case is settled in America, though. So I think I read today that he's just got here to the U.S. Oh, he pled not guilty. I read that, too, to the wire fraud extortion. But I don't, they're like, maybe we can get answers. But no, they're not going to get answers. Because if they did, he would get in more jail time if he admitted to killing Natalie. And he's not going to do that because he wants to get out. And he's already been in for, oh my gosh, he's, what has he been in? 12 or 13 years? He's been in 13 years. So he's only got that, you know, what, that much more?
Stay for the whole thing. And
so that means he's never going to admit anything to the U.S. police. I mean, I hate it. And I wish that he would. And I wish that he can't, he found Jesus and decided to come clean and spend the rest of his life in jail. But no, I don't think somebody like that, that has murdered a couple women, and he would probably have murdered more if he had been out the last 12 years.
He seems to be fairly, very, very narcissistic.
Yeah, not fairly at all.
Borderline. Or full-blown system. But the point is, that's not going to be something you can just reform just by being in prison. Like, he's been acting serious for a year.
He was only 22 years old? It was only 5 years later. He was just getting started.
Yeah, he's probably too much therapy for that in prison. Probably just young days.
And it's just a shame because it's such a sad story. And I definitely read, I liked Aruba, by the way, when we went. I was always scared to go. Everybody always said, I mean, that case and that story and her disappearance, I think it really ruined tourism for Aruba for decades, you know?
My sister loved
it. I loved Aruba, too. I would say after I went, I definitely would go back. I felt very safe there. We rented a car. We went, drove all over the island. It wasn't like some of the other places that we've been where I did feel safe, like where you don't want to leave the resort. It wasn't like that at all. And I was glad to see that Carlos and Charlie's wasn't there anymore. Like I think this wife in 13 years is probably going to divorce him before he gets out because she's going to be like, oh, crap, I really might get murdered in 13 years when he gets out.
No, I think he gets more straight and narrow. I don't like him anymore.
But yes.
And that's like the extreme event.
Okay, so yeah, either way, it's probably not going to work after he gets out. Yeah.
It
really is messed up. But anyway, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, we're done.
And we'll be back.